Well, I've been asked to give commitment number 8 in our series of commitments, and I'm very honored to do so. It's on the Word and Prayer, so let me say this. I can just leave that. What am I doing? Let me just start with this. Oh, I love you guys. But I want to pray first. God, we thank you for this night. Lord, I pray that you have something for each and every one of us in this room tonight. God, I ask that you come into the hearts of everyone here, God, that you speak through me and you let everyone here, let them know what you want them to know tonight. Let your will be done. In your name we pray, God. Amen. So the Word and Prayer, to be committed to it. And I believe that your relationship with God cannot grow and cannot thrive if you are not consistent with being in the Word and Prayer. If you're not in the Word and Prayer, how can you grow? How can you grow in knowing God? Because we have only limited ways to communicate with God. So if you're not in the Word and Prayer, how do you expect your relationship to be growing with the Lord? It's just like any other relationship. We have to be spending time with Him. We have to sit aside some time during our day, and we have to give it to God. We have to say, this is the time that we're going to spend with the Lord so that we can get to know Him, get to know His character, get to know what He is like. If we don't do that, then we're ignoring Him. It's just like any other relationship. If you have a wife, or if you have a husband, a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it might be, you love them so much, you're going to spend time with them. You're going to be with them. You're going to try to associate with them because you care about them, because you want to see them, you want to be with them. And that's the same thing as it is with God. If we're not with Him and we're not being committed to this, there's no way that our relationship is going to grow. If you love somebody, you will spend time with them. We can all claim to love God to the high heavens, but are we spending enough time with God day to day? Let me just give you a couple facts about somebody that's pretty close to me, Matt Scribner. I spend quite a bit of time with him. There are certain things that you might not know about Matt just by looking at him. But if you dig a little deeper, if you get into his home, like I spend a lot of my time there, you will find out that his favorite food is toast. And I'm not kidding. The kid will eat toast for meals. He loves toast. His mom just doesn't buy bread because he goes through it too fast. It's kind of funny. Another thing about Matt Scribner is that one of his dream jobs, Surprisingly enough, would be to play with Legos all day long. And I'm not kidding. The kid loves to play. That's you. I was like, who's clapping about that? He'll play with Legos all day long because he just loves it. Him and his little brother, they get along great when they're playing with Legos. I think that's amazing. I wish I liked playing with Legos that much, but I don't. But the only reason I know that is because I spend a lot of time with Matt Scribner. I spend a lot of time at his house, mainly because they have food and internet access. But that's beside the point. But that's how we need to be with God. We're never going to get to know facts about Jesus Christ if we're not spending time with Him, if we're not relating with Him, if we're not enjoying the time that we have with Him. How can you expect to grow in your relationship with Christ? And I challenge you, you can't. If you're not in the Word and if you're not in prayer, your relationship will fail. So that brings me to my first point. Oh, that's what I wanted to. That's right. What does it mean to be committed? Oh, clicker. Hey, this is all new to me. I got control. I forgot about this. It is written that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is Jesus talking to Satan after he has just been confronted by him in the wilderness. After he had just gotten baptized by John, he goes out in the wilderness. And the first thing that Satan does, he walks up to him and he starts challenging Jesus. And he says, if you are the Son of God. He says, if you are the Son of God. And the first thing he challenges is God's word. If you catch that, because just before that, God had appeared to Christ and he said, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And Jesus had that going into the wilderness so he can combat Satan initially. That's just right there. I'll probably say that again later. So what does it mean to be committed? Well, I want to talk to you about a guy that I think was very committed And it's a guy that all of us know, well, probably know. You'd have to be pretty sheltered not to, but that's not a bad thing. He's a guy, he weighed over 500 pounds, pretty hefty guy. He couldn't do a whole lot. He's pretty much bedridden, couldn't, you know, do a lot of exercising or things like that. But he got tired of it. He got tired of doing the same thing every day. He got tired of being just terribly obese. And so he decided that he needs to make a change in his life. He needs to make a commitment to change. He needs to make a commitment to a diet plan. And so that's what he did. And he started eating on a diet plan that nobody else had tried before. He would eat 2 sandwiches a day from Subway. He would go for lunch, and he would eat a Subway sandwich, 6-inch for lunch with a Diet Coke, and a 6-inch for dinner with a Diet Coke. His name is Jared. He weighs just over 200 pounds. He's a spokesman for Subway. Jared was committed to what he had in mind. He knew exactly what he wanted, and he stuck to it. Commitment is consistency. If you are not consistent in something, you are not committed. That's an easy way to judge whether or not you're committed. Well, am I consistent? Am I doing it day to day? Am I getting in the word or prayer day to day and prayer, not or, and prayer day to day? Jared was consistent in what he did. He walked around his block. He ate a couple sandwiches a day that were low in fat, and he lost over 400 pounds, I think, something like that. I don't know, 300 something, doesn't matter. But commitment takes a sacrifice. We all know that. Commitment will take a sacrifice 90% of the time that you're going to make a commitment. You're going to have to give up something that you had been doing. Jared had to give up the foods that he was eating. He had to give up all of his laziness and time that he spent inside of his home on his bed or on his couch. He had to give that up and sacrifice himself so that he could improve himself. He had to make that sacrifice because he knew that it was worth it. And he stayed committed to it. No matter the cost, it has to happen, even if you don't feel like it, because you need to change. If you look at Jesus, you know, Jesus himself, he went praying to God in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, God, if there's any other way, Lord, that I can get out of doing this, because he knew how brutal it was going to be. Is there any other way that I can get out of doing this? Please, God, let that be. Please, God, let that happen. But Lord, let your will be done. That's what he said. You don't think that he wanted to end it? You don't think that he wanted to turn back and give up? He sure did. He asked God if there was any other way. But he loved us so much. He was thinking your name as he was going up on that cross to die for our sins. We need to be consistent in what we do. Commitment will always take a sacrifice. And our sacrifices are so petty in comparison to Jesus. They're so petty. They pale in comparison to what he did for us. There's nothing that we can't do for someone else or for him. Here's a quote from Paul Little. It says, Bible study is like eating peanuts. The more you eat it, the more you want it. I would happen to agree. If you're not in the Word, you're not going to want to be in the Word. But the more that you're in the Word, the more you read the truth, the more that you understand it, the more you want it. The more you want another peanut, the more, you know, eat one, you want just, can't just eat one. How can you? Tell me. Anyway. One thing, you won't always enjoy reading the Word. Sometimes when I read the Word, I don't like what I just read. Want to know why? Because I get convicted by it. I realize I need to change something in my life right now. I just read that and it hit me right in the heart. I can't live like this anymore. I need to change. The Bible is so convicting. I think Helen Keller said it best in this lovely quote. It says, there is much in the Bible against which every instinct of my being rebels, so much that I regret the necessity which has compelled me to read it through from beginning to end. I do not think that the knowledge which I have gained of its history and sources compensates me for the unpleasant details it has forced upon my attention. I love that. She understood exactly what the Bible was saying. That it took a sacrifice from us, that we needed to change something inside of us if we wanted to live the life and be committed to it. Commitment will take sacrifice. It will take consistency. You won't always enjoy it, but you know that it's beneficial. If you look at the leaders in our church, you look at Steve, Bill, Steele, any leader, doesn't matter. One thing is similar with all of them. It's consistent, is that they all are in the Word, and they're all in prayer every single day. Every single day. What is this? Oh, yeah, be reading and praying every single day. Where's my... Get this out. Okay. Because that's what commitment is. If you're not committed, then what are you? If you are not consistent in your commitment, then you're not committed. That's just flat out that you're not committed. You need to be consistent in what you do, whether it's just one, like 3 days a week. Like if you're not reading at all, if you're not praying at all, if you start small and then build up on that. You know, don't go for the whole thing in one shot because you're just going to fail. So start small and build from that. Be consistent for a little while and say, you know what, I think I can add a day or two. Then do that until you get up to 7 days a week where you're praying and you're reading and you're spending time, quality time with God. You're not trying to rush it, but you're just enjoying the time that you have with the Lord because he will teach you and he is good. Oh, another quote. I like this, what it says. That's why we need to read every day. No one ever graduates from Bible study until he meets its author face to face. You know, you might say, Zach, well, I've already read the Bible. Well, I say, read it again, because it will continue to teach you. It will continue to show you brand new things that you've never read or heard before. You might have read it, but it just didn't hit you the same way that it did this time. And so I could just say, continue to read it. I will read it for the rest of my life, for sure. I think this brings me to my second point. Why should I read and pray? Zach, you're telling me I need to be committed. You're telling me that I need to be in the Word and prayer, and I'm saying, and you're asking why. Why should I be in the Word and prayer? Jesus was. Jesus did it. We see that Jesus left his disciples many times just so that he can go alone with God on a mountain and pray. He would completely leave everyone just so he can be alone and pray. Of course, they would find him again, but he would do that because he knew that it was so important. You will read in the scripture that Jesus, when he was like 12 or something, they had to go to Bethlehem for the census, and then he ended up getting left there. He actually stayed there, and then he was found in the church, and he was talking to people about God. He had extensive knowledge of the Old Testament, even as a young child. And he quotes the Old Testament many times, like the verse that I read before, how he knew God's word. He knew God's word to combat Satan when it was necessary. This is why we pray. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. We gain knowledge from God's word. Whether we think so or not, whether we rush through it that day or not, what we read that day is going to stick with us because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and it's working, whether you believe it or not. Like this, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We need to pray continually because it is so important to our walk with the Lord. Okay. Another reason why we need to pray is, what if somebody came up to you today? What if somebody walked up to you today and they started challenging your faith and they started saying, you know what, I found a fault in the Bible. And they go off on it, and you're like, well, that could be true, you know? If you're not in the Word consistently, you're not going to have the defense that you need. You know what the Bible calls the Word of God? Does anybody? It calls it our sword. It is our sword. We can take it out in battle. When somebody says, this is what the Bible says, and we're like, no, this is my sword. I know the Word of God. I know what it is. It's on the tip of my tongue. It's in my heart because I read it every single day. You will know. You'll be able to defend yourself. And that is why you need to be in it every single day. If you want to be able to defend your faith, if you want to support what you believe, be in the Word. It is true. It is good. What does this say? I like what Mahatma Gandhi said. He said, prayer is not an old woman's idle amusement. Properly understood and applied, it is the most potent instrument of action. Let me get some water. Most potent, most powerful instrument of action. Most powerful instrument of action, praying. Is that true? When you're on your knees, do you feel powerful? When you've humbled yourself before a holy God and you're praying to him and you're in tears and you're weeping and your sheets are getting wet because you can't stop crying, do you feel powerful? Do you know that your prayers are going somewhere outside of your room? Do you understand the missiles that you're sending out when you're praying for other people? God does not sit on your prayers. The moment it comes out of your mouth, if you know Jesus Christ, God will not sit on your prayers. If you've made yourself right with the Lord, he says, I will answer your prayers if it's in my will. You know, I will be there, and your prayers will not come back void. You can count on it. You can count on that, that he has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Be in prayer because it is a powerful tool. It offers protection. When you are in prayer and you're praying to God and you're asking him, Lord, save me from what I am in. God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even know how to get over this. And he is the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. He will send down his angels to protect you. He will watch over you. You can cast Satan out of your room anytime you want. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave me alone. Leave me alone. Stop putting those thoughts in my head. Stop putting those thoughts in my head. I love Jesus Christ. You can do that anytime you want. Prayer offers protection. He will surround you with his angels. I like what D.L. Moody said. The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. I believe that to be true. I just actually got done with a commitment to prayer. I think that this commitment that we just did, it was Derek Furz. He's the one that felt God calling him to have a prayer group. It was every morning at 6 a.m. at Sugar House Park for an hour. We'd walk around Sugar House Park, and it was Derek Furz, Cole Walters, Tim Henry, Ryan Sadler, myself, and then at the tail end, Mark Treerise joined us. But when I heard that, when he said, I'm going to do this, that was one of those moments where I was just like, but I know I need to do it. I don't want it. I mean, I do, but I don't, because 6 a.m. is early, and I like to sleep a lot. We just barely finished it on the 14th, and I tell you what, I've really missed sleeping in. It has been a beautiful thing. But that prayer walk changed my life. To wake up every morning at 6 a.m., to lay down your flesh and say, I'm going to forget about sleeping this morning. I'm going to get up out of my bed, and I'm going to go pray with my brothers in Christ, and we're going to spend some time with the Lord today. We're going to pray for about 50 minutes around the park. And that's not even counting the other prayers that I did throughout the day. So I probably prayed for over an hour a day, easy, during the last 100 days. Through that walk, and it changed my life. Within the first few days, I felt the difference. I felt the power of prayer in my life. And now I feel like I can define myself as a man of prayer, as a man that has been in prayer and understands the power of prayer. I can go confidently and say, I feel like I get it. I get prayer. Be in it. It will protect you. It will show you things that you didn't think could ever happen. We prayed a lot for this valley. We prayed a lot for this church. And I tell you what, I saw so many answered prayers at the end of our prayer walk. We were just in awe. There was other groups of people walking around and praying at the same time at the end of our prayer walk. Because we're asking for more leaders. We're asking for more people to step up and to get faithful in being in the word and prayer. Now they're walking around the park at the same time. It was just amazing to me. God showed us incredible things through this time, through the 100 days. Is absolutely amazing. So this brings me to my third point. Consistency is essential for flipping for Jesus. Now, for all of you that don't really know what flipping means, I'm going to define it a little bit for you. The term flip. When you suddenly understand Christ's will for you in your life, when you understand what he is asking of you, when you understand what he wants out of your life, and you say, I'm going to do that. When you say yes to that, and you get passionate for Jesus Christ, and you say, anything for Christ, that's what flipping for Jesus is. That's what flipping for Jesus is. You don't even see it when it starts, but then all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to everything. You just want to be at every conference. You want to be at every small group, every meeting. You're going to book yourself too tight because you just want to go. You want to go to everything. You want to learn as much as you can about Christ. You want his word in your heart now. Yeah, I've only been reading the Bible consistently for 2 years. I want it all now. That's hard for me to be patient and wait for, but I know that it will come with time. That's what flipping for Jesus is. And you ask yourself, have I flipped for Jesus? Or are you consistent in the word and prayer? Because that's where it begins. It begins with the word and prayer. I'm going to go back for a second. That's where it begins. I believe that you can't flip for Jesus until you understand what he requires of you. You won't get it, and you won't know unless you're consistent in being in the word and prayer. How can you know? Because that's the only way we can find out. We have a two-way relationship with our God, word and prayer. How much time are you spending with him daily? I want minutes. 10, 5, 2? How much time are you praying to God? Not that I say I make this every day, but 30 minutes of prayer a day would make me feel pretty good. Not saying like I feel good about myself. I'm saying I feel protected. I feel like I feel God in my life with 30 minutes of prayer a day. Reading your Bible is just something. You get your knowledge. You get your way. That's your path. It will light your path for your feet. That's what the Word does. I like this. This is flipping for Jesus. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What is he saying? Pick up your cross daily. What was Jesus doing when he was carrying his cross? He was walking to die. He was on his way to die on the cross. Are we ready to do that each and every day? Are we ready to wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to die to my flesh. I'm going to die to my earthly desires, my fleshly needs, and I'm going to do things for other people today. I'm going to do things Jesus' way today. Are we ready to do that? Are you doing that in your life right now? Are you living for Jesus with every breath, with every moment of your day? I can't say that I do that every morning, but that is my heart. That is what I want. I want to live for Jesus with everything I can, whether I'm walking, breathing, talking, dancing, singing. I don't even care. If I'm at work, if I'm at the park, if I'm hanging out with my friends, if I'm with my Christian friends, if I'm with my parents, if I'm with family members, it doesn't matter. I want Jesus to shine through my life in everything that I do. And I know that I don't do that always. But that's what I want. I want that so badly in my life. I pray the same for you. And that's exactly what Jesus is asking for us to do. To deny yourself. Deny every instinct of selfishness you have. We're not going to do that. It's like impossible for us to, but have the heart to do that and flip for Jesus. Where am I at? Let me just say this. If you have already surrendered for Christ, if you say, you know what, I think I've surrendered for Christ. I think that this is something that I have done. My life is in Christ. Well, then this commitment, these commitments that we're talking about should really be automatic, don't you think? Because that's what Christ's heart is. Spend time with me. Get to know me. Love on other people. Love your neighbor. These commitments shouldn't be too hard to make if you've already surrendered your life to Christ. If you've flipped for Jesus, I hope that you've already made these commitments. I want you to watch a clip. Spending time with Jesus gives you a passion for Jesus, for sure. And I'll tell you why, because this verse, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The more you spend time with Jesus, the more you put your heart in Jesus, the more you make Jesus your treasure and what you want, the more and more you will grow passionate for him. The more you will seek his will, the more that you will live for him. I want you to watch this clip of somebody that I find very passionate. And you all know him. It's amazing.
He's picked out a landing spot that is 25 feet above the hole.
There's a good chance he doesn't get this inside DeMarco's ball.
Have you seen anything like that?
That was the 2005 Masters at Augusta. Did you hear the crowd? Were you listening for it? Did you hear them when the ball stopped? And then did you hear it when it went in? Are people doing that in my life? Are people waiting to see what I'm going to do for Jesus Christ? Are they on the edge of their seat saying, what is Zach going to do today for the kingdom of God? What is he going to do? I want my life to make anybody that I touch electric for something. There's, what's going on? Is Zach doing something? I'm not saying that, you know my heart. I want so badly to love Jesus Christ with everything I have. So I'm human, I'm fleshly, I hate it, but I love Jesus Christ. And I want every moment of my life, everything that I do, to make people electric for Jesus Christ. I want them to know my love for Jesus Christ by walking in the room. I want to be electric. I want the crowds to go crazy when something amazing happens, when Jesus comes down and reveals himself to us through a confession of faith. I want crowds to be exploding with excitement for Jesus Christ. Not because of me, not because of you, but because he loved me so much. And he loved you so much to die on the cross for our sins. Because he understood that we couldn't make it on our own. He understood that our sin, our penalty was too great for us to pay for. So God sent his son, and his son died for us. And by his blood, we are perfect. God looks at us and he loves us so much. Do you understand that when God sees us, he is so in love with us. And if we take one glance up to heaven, it takes his breath away. It says that in the Songs of Solomon 4:9. It takes his very breath away. Do you understand that there's a God out there that loves you that much? Do you understand that your sins can be paid for? Is that something in your life that you have done that you want to do? To live life to the fullest, as it says in John 10. He doesn't just come to steal, kill, and destroy, or to deliver a good message. He was talking about the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And then Jesus says, I come to give you life and life to the full. Well, I'll tell you something. This life is so exciting. And in the 2 years that I've been consistent in the word and prayer, my life has changed. I'm not the same person I was even a month ago. Each day when I get in the word, each day when I'm in prayer, I'm offering myself up to God, and he's saying, he's just making a masterpiece out of me. That's what he calls us. He calls us his workmanship. Other translations call it a masterpiece. That's what we are to him, because I am perfect, because I've been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, because I asked him to do that, because I understood that, well, I can't make it on my own. I've already blown it today. But because of Jesus, I don't have to worry about that anymore. Because his grace and love is sufficient for me and you. He died for the sins of the world. Get passionate for Jesus Christ. Get in the word and prayer. If you want to live life, if you really want to live life, if you want to get serious about your life and what you're doing on this earth, get serious about Jesus Christ. Get serious about the word and prayer, because it will change you. When you woke up this morning, what did you wake up to live for? What did you wake up to live for? What was on your heart this morning? Are you going to do the same thing every morning? Are you going to continue to go to work, do your thing, make the money, pay the bills, buy something nice? Or are you going to go make a difference in this world for Jesus Christ, because you know that it matters? Because you know that other people are worth it? Love your neighbor? Are you going to share with them the truth that you have in your heart? Jesus wants us to, and we won't know it. How do you know the truth if you're not in the word, if you're not praying? How do you get the passion for Jesus Christ if you're not asking for it? I love Jesus. He will give you the passion if you ask. You know how he tells us to pray? He tells us to pray without ceasing. He tells us to pray like the woman who, here's a story, a woman was talking to a judge, and she was trying to get him to do something for her, and he kept denying her and kept denying her and kept denying her, but she kept bothering him. I can't remember what book I just read, and I think it was Luke, probably in all of them, I don't know, all the Gospels is what I mean. But after a while, she just kept asking and asking and asking for it, and he says, you know what, I don't know God, I don't care about all these other people, but this lady is bugging me so bad that I'm going to give it to her. I'm going to give her what she wants. And right after that, it says, pray like this. Pray like this. Pray to me like that. If you want it, tell me you want it. If you want it, tell me you want it. And guess what? I might just give it to you. Let's get serious about Christ tonight. We got to do this as a family. We have to unite together if we want to make a difference in this world. Let's get this together as a family in Christ. If you go to this church on a regular basis, look around you. Look at the new people that are in here. I want you to spot somebody right now, one person you don't know. Meet them. Meet them. One person you don't know, meet them. Introduce yourself. Say, hi, I'm Zach. How are you today? That will make the difference. They will see the love of Christ in a smile and a hello. And if you remember their name, that's just better. God, we love you tonight. We thank you for your word. For prayer, God, I pray that we all learn something from this, that we can ask you for anything because you are the God of the universe. You are what we want to live for, Lord. I pray that you put that in our hearts. God, that you continually give us a passion for you. Lord, that you remind us that we need to be with you every single day. I pray that we can't rest until we've been with you. Lord, continue to use us. Change this church. Transform us, God, into the men and women that you want us to be, Lord. And we offer this to you. In your name we pray. Amen.